This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards from the Edge. I'm your host, Christopher D. Littlefield, and with me this week is Liam Smart. Liam, you've been on the main show, number 78, and a few of our patrons' roundtables, but this is the first time you've been on Postcards. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chris, for having me. I was on the main Edge show talking about time crystals with Amy and Patrick, and I'm really excited to be here to talk about the viewers' comments on Postcards.
Yeah, I really liked that the concept of that episode. I thought it was a great idea.
Oh, thank you. No, it was a lot of fun to try and think up of all the different scenarios that each captain could face.
Yeah, it was really cool. I also understand that you're going to be guesting possibly on a To the Journey in the future as well, yeah?
Oh, hopefully. Just got to sort out a time with Zach and Suzanne. A little bit difficult being across the other side of the planet.
Right, you're in Australia.
Mm-hmm. And thank you very much as well for waking up very early.
Yeah, it's a little early. It's 6:45, so it's a little bit early. But yeah, you've woken up early for a lot of the roundtables and the other things. So I thought we'd cut you a break this time.
Well, thank you.
And you are a Voyager boy. Just to
I
set
am
the
a
record
Voyager
straight.
Boy.
Yes. And I told you my little confession that Janeway was indeed my captain. And I finally came out of the closet and admitted that when I went to STLV and heard Kate Mulgrew speak this summer.
I'm very jealous. I'd love to see Kate Mulgrew speak. I know Amy's been trying to make me come to STLV next year.
You've got
to pay for me. She needs to pay for me though.
Maybe we can get a, we can do like a crowdfunding thing.
Oh gosh. No.
That would be so fun. Oh, and I also told you, speaking of Kate Mulgrew, I was in a rehearsal studio in New York a few weeks ago and I walked by one of the practice rooms, one of the rehearsal spaces, and she was rehearsing or doing like a table read of the new Marie Curie project that she's working on that she just announced.
Yeah, that's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, it was so cool to see her.
I wish I could come and see it.
Yeah. Today we're discussing the fan response to Short Trek's The Trouble with Edward. If you would like to participate and share your response, please post your comments in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field and it will come right up. We'll create a special Postcards discussion thread right before each new Star Trek episode. Leave your comments and they just might get read on the air. At the time of this recording, we have 139 comments, which is an 85.33 repeating percent from our last episode. Amy Nelson, I hope you approve of my math and that I got that formula right. Before we hear your feedback on The Trouble with Edward, I'd like to briefly respond to some listener feedback from our last Postcards, number 41, on the Short Treks Q&A. Simon DeLuca wrote, "You said Vulcans have emotion and he's half human, so more emotions. I'd like to build on that. Spock being human must make him less emotional than full-blooded Vulcans. The very reason that Vulcans embraced logic was that their emotions were so powerful that they more than once reduced their planet's population below the viability level. One thing that bugs me a lot in fans is that they think Vulcans repress their emotions. They do no such thing. They acknowledge each emotion and choose most of the time not to express it." So, Simon, you bring up a really good point, and I don't disagree with you. It also bugs me when people say that Vulcans don't have emotions, because it just isn't true, as you said. My mentioning that Spock was half-human was just to reinforce the fact that he does have emotions, but not that his human side necessarily makes him more emotional. But I do love this topic of conversation, and thank you so much for your response, Simon. Listeners, keep the comments coming because we love your feedback. Keep in mind that some comments may be edited for time. And please be sure to listen all the way past the closing music of this podcast for a very special message from our sponsor that you definitely do not want to miss. Liam, go ahead and get us started.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So Paloma Bennett writes, I loved this episode. What a great way to show the origin story of the Tribbles and have a proto Barclay. I bet Kirk would be super upset to learn a Starfleet officer caused the Tribbles to be born pregnant. I hope we learn somehow what happened to Captain Lucero. She was a brilliant young scientist. Yeah, so it was really good to see the Tribbles in an episode based on something that they started 52 years ago. It's always good that Star Trek can build on episodes that were done over half a century ago. Probably not sure what I think about the Proto Barclay comment, just because this was clearly an episode of lunacy. But I sort of consider Barclay a somewhat serious character still in TNG and Voyager. It was a very good episode.
I do too. Regarding Barclay, I actually did think of Barclay briefly, but I don't want to think that Edward is anything like Barclay, because I think Barclay is an honorable person, Edward really doesn't seem to be very honorable.
No, not at all.
Jim McMahon said, loved this new short. I thought it was incredibly funny. The acting, with one exception, was top-notch, the standout being Rosa Salazar, a.k.a. Alita Battle Angel. And of course, who doesn't like seeing Captain Pike? The only problem I had with it was the Edward character. The actor, in my opinion, wasn't believable in the role, and I also find it hard to believe someone with social skills that bad would advance at all in Starfleet. Overall, I would recommend it to anyone to watch.
See, I didn't know Rosa Salazar from anything. I haven't seen Alita Battle Angel. Mm-hmm. I think it's on my list of things to watch. As for the Edward character not being believable, his character's very out there, and I don't think we really come across many of those kinds of people that often. So, no. I can't pass judgment on whether that's a good, believable portrayal of the role, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, back to Rosa Salazar, I thought she was incredible. I really liked her character a lot, and I thought she was a cool character for being a new captain, you know, kind of trained by Pike. And I didn't really like the Edward character, but I thought that the actor was good in the role, H. John Benjamin. Mm. I thought he did a good job. I just didn't like the guy.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Yeah. He was kind of a little of infuriating, but the actor did play a good job, I guess.
Yeah. And I get that, you know, he didn't have great social skills, but I don't think that bad social skills necessarily keep you out of Starfleet. I think it's just that he was really just kind of a jerk and not nice.
Just the way he sat in the mess hall at some point.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. To everybody.
Even in the meeting with Captain Lucero.
Yeah.
Very disrespectful. Okay, so Dan Gunther writes, great stuff. I really enjoyed this one. I worked with an Edward before. I've long been a fan of H. John Benjamin from Archer and Bob's Burgers. I was so excited to see that he would be in the Star Trek universe, and I was not disappointed. This one was so much fun.
Well, thanks, Dan Gunther from Literary Treks. And have you worked with an Edward before, Liam?
I do have an Edward at my work, but he is nowhere near that kind of character. I'm probably more the Edward, to be honest.
What? How is that possible?
Oh, you haven't seen me at work, Chris.
Okay. I guess we all have different personalities, wherever we're working at, whatever we're doing. Yeah. I can't see it, though.
Not sure if many people noticed. I didn't know he was from Bob's Burgers, and I was wondering whether this was more of just a coincidence than anything, but when he's standing in the mess hall just with his cup saying that, you know, barf at the new captain, he was standing next to the food dispenser or replicator that has a burger on it.
Oh, I bet that was on purpose. I didn't notice that.
Mm. Yeah, so good. I thought that catch was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool. I liked how he was standing waiting at the replicator for people to come up so he could kind of, you know, dish on the new captain. And it was kind of like he was waiting at the water cooler or the coffee station in the morning, you know?
Mm. We all do that in the morning at work as well, ready for a little whinge.
A little goss.
Exactly.
Nicholas Paul Collinson said, okay, that was weird. Who let this guy into Starfleet? Science is all about collaboration, and people like this do exist, but they don't tend to actually get very far. Still, I love that we get a scientific name for the Tribbles. Fun fact, just like Tribbles, the aphids I work with are also born pregnant. It's called parthenogenesis, and it's quite common in insects and other invertebrates. Not only are aphids born pregnant, but the gestating nymph inside them already has the embryo of another nymph inside it. We call it telescoping generations. Well, Nicholas, I think that is so fascinating, and I'm so glad that you schooled us a little bit on what you do and more about this concept, parthenogenesis. I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Nick, your comments are always amazing to read on Postcards Thread. I know that you work with aphids in your PhD work, trying to get rid of them. But yeah, it's a very outstanding idea. I never even thought that you could still actually be pregnant whilst being pregnant. it's just mind-boggling.
It is.
The other thing, the scientific name, I think it was something like Tribulus ventricosis or something like that for the Tribbles.
I don't remember.
That was my poor pronunciation of it. Okay, so Paul Wright Jr. says, in my time in the US Navy, I definitely met a couple of brand new ensigns that reminded me of Edward. Not so quite to that extreme, though.
Well, Paul, thank you for your comment and for your service. And Janessa Quijada says, I didn't even recognize Rosa Salazar until I saw the end credits. Yes, Edward was an idiot, but man, I really related to him in that staff meeting. There are times I have been Edward in meetings like that. Also, Janessa, I find that hard to believe, because I also know you personally, and I don't see you that way.
I really feel like there's a story there that we could hear as well from Janessa.
Right? Tell us more.
Okay, so Patrick Carlin says, I'm thinking the intent of this one was to give us a taste of what we're in for with Lower Decks, and I'm 1,000,000% on board. Sorry, Amy. she's going to not like that one.
I know. When I read Patrick's comment, I texted her. And I asked her, for listeners who don't know, Amy is a math teacher, and she's the previous host of this podcast. And she texted me back. I said, you know, what was your thing about the when people say greater than 100%? And she says, you cannot do, be, or have more than 100%. If you like something completely, then you can't like it anymore.
You can't argue with a math teacher.
You can't argue with that. Yeah. But Patrick, I appreciate your comment, and I'm kind of 1,000,000% on board too with the comedy that we might see in Lower Decks based on what we saw here. So on Twitter, Beta Artemis wrote, Captain Pike is the best space dad watching one of his little birdies leave the nest. The Tribbles live long and prosper. Tribbles 1, Starfleet 0. Now onwards to conquer the Klingon Empire. And then I tweeted back and said something about Daddy Pike. I love that. And Batleth Babe, also on Twitter, wrote, Daddy Pike is canon.
Yeah, Daddy Pike brings up all sorts of new shows in my mind.
Oh my god. You know, he was looking good in that transporter room at the beginning in those pants. I mean, he looked good.
I would agree with that one. I won't go any further with Daddy Pike.
Yeah, I mean, in season 2 of Discovery, he wasn't really my actor crush, you know. It was Ethan Peck for sure, but he's a good-looking man, Daddy Pike.
Oh yeah, definitely a good-looking man. I'm not gonna say any more. Justin Ozer writes, this show was completely insane and I loved every moment of it. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, including the commercial after the end credits, and I was still laughing about it afterwards until I had to get serious and get back to work. More of this type of episode, please.
Thanks for your comment, Justin. I always like your enthusiasm with each episode that comes out.
Yeah, no. Now, Justin put something on the Babel conference that he picked up from a review website discussing a possible Section 31 relationship.
Right. And I watched the episode again last night, I looked at the scene that he was referring to, and it was when Edward was in the lab before he did the spray with the DNA or whatever it was. And there is a little black Starfleet emblem, but to me, it looked more like that's just because he was wearing like, it looked like kind of a smock type of thing. It looked like it was just part of that, you know, thing instead of an official Section 31 badge. And also, why would he go back and forth between his regular science badge and the Section 31 badge?
Yeah, especially at that time, as Section 31 seemed a little bit more open, as we've seen from like the main Discovery show. I was also thinking that maybe it could be due with something, the lighting could have been a little bit dark and just reflecting off of the badge as, yeah, you know, dark. But it is interesting to think of what could have occurred if it was a Section 31 thing. Was he planted there for purposely creating the tribbles to, you know, get to the Klingons?
Right. And I'm not sure that I am on board that he was at the time of the episode involved in Section 31, but he could be recruited by we're under the assumption that he died, but we don't really know.
Just swimming around in a tribble ball pool.
Right, exactly. Billy Wills Logue says, "We're pregnant with flavor. I'm deceased."
Oh my God. I tell you what, this new era of Star Trek has some form of obsession with eating things. We've got tribbles, ganglia, Georgiou.
Yeah, and eating, oh my gosh.
I reckon we're going to get a show in 2021. It'll be some form of reality show, and it's going to be some kind of cooking with Star Trek species. Cardassians versus Ferengi.
Like chicken fried vole or something.
Ew, gross. Tasty, tasty targ.
Gross.
Jim Stoffel says, "It was funny. Edward was an idiot." That last line from Captain Lucero, perfect.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Her facial expression, right down to the tone of her voice. Mm-hmm. That made the episode for me.
Yeah. Duncan Barrett said, "I loved this so much more than the Mud comedy short last time round. It's ridiculous, but I found it genuinely funny. I liked the new captain. I enjoyed the horror movie stylings, and I even thought the ad at the end worked okay, though not sure how it could possibly be canonical." Yeah, Duncan, I don't think that there's any way in which the commercial could be canon, because it just doesn't, it wouldn't work.
Oh, no, it's definitely not canon. I feel like that's probably why they put it at the end of the end credits.
Right.
Because, yeah, it was bonkers.
It was just a bit of fun. And the fact that there was like the VHS tracking thing at the beginning of the commercial has been brought up, and I think I read somewhere that someone postulated that perhaps this was something that occurred in Edward's mind if he thought his idea to use tribbles as a source of protein caught on. Like, this, he's like, oh yeah, and we can have these commercials about,
oh, wow,
you know.
I can 100, sorry, no, Amy won't like that, 99% see that.
Okay. That's safe.
That's definitely safe. I won't get told off now. As far as the horror movie stylings go, I absolutely loved the lady drowning, screaming,
oh, yeah,
in the tribbles. I laughed a lot at that.
That was funny. Yeah. And wasn't it cool, the effects when they were zooming outside of the cabin, which I thought was a beautiful ship. And, you know, it looked a lot like the Shran. The tribbles kind of just piling up and...
just bubbling up, yeah. And like, yeah, little popcorn sounds as well that was made when, yes, the tribbles were firing out.
Uh-huh. I loved that. I loved when they kept popping out.
I'm just like, you could listen to that all day.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andrea Boot says, "This wasn't the best short trek ever, but it was certainly an interesting concept. I'm a big H. John Benjamin fan, and it was nice to see him play the titular role of Edward. Yes, he was a bit off in terms of behaviour. However, I can think of several people that I've had the pleasure of knowing in the workplace that are like this. I guess the workplace asshole is just a universal constant. I laugh like a loon at the commercial at the end." Now, I seem to remember thinking she said something about spilling coffee on her laptop.
Is, yeah, right? Andrea, did you laugh so hard that you spilled coffee on your laptop? I hope it's okay.
That's dangerous.
I know.
Well, it's just another person having an Edward in the workplace. Maybe you're lucky, Chris. Maybe your industry doesn't have Edwards.
That is not true.
No?
I work in showbiz, so there's a lot of, I mean, we're all a little bit different, and I think there are Edwards everywhere, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel Gautreau said Pike's advice to Captain Lucero was to remember that not everyone would be on her level, but she doesn't seem to have taken this advice. Perhaps someday the young captain will be a great captain, but her failure in the end to take any responsibility for what happened, for me, showed that she has a ways to go. Edward reminded me of Barclay in some ways. He didn't seem to have much control over his impulses. Seems like he could have benefited from talking to someone like Troy. I don't think I quite realize just how much Pike, Picard, Janeway, and others really are the elite of Starfleet. I knew I loved them, but hadn't quite realized how head and shoulders they might be above the rest of the captains in the fleet. This short was meant to be humorous, and I did find it so. But upon reflection, I realized that this short did more. It highlighted the fact that we've just been spoiled by being exposed to the great captains in our Star Trek shows. I wasn't expecting a funny short trek to make me realize this. Well, Rachel, I really like your comments, and you had a lot of great things to say on this episode. I hear what you're saying about Captain Lucero, but I don't think it was her fault. I think it was Edward's fault because he was an idiot. I think the advice that Pike gave her was beneficial, but I don't think she failed to take responsibility because she did her best to try and get him to do the right thing. And she even tried to have him transferred off, but it just didn't work. He wouldn't listen.
See, I'm not so sure I agree with you, Chris, with that.
Okay.
You see, in the meeting that they had at the very beginning, I'm fairly sure that was one of the very first meetings that they would have had as she's getting up to speed on all the work that they've been doing. And whilst he was a bit of a moron, she also seemed to undermine him or belittle him in a way, I felt.
Okay.
Which, at the same time, you've got to realize, I guess, that I'm watching a comedy Star Trek as opposed to a serious Star Trek.
Sure.
Which is obviously played out like that for a reason. But I guess if I were Edward in that scenario, I'd be pretty annoyed and would start doing things against her wishes just because she was very belittling, I felt. Yeah.
I don't know, but he was disrespectful from the very beginning. He didn't respect her from the very start.
Yeah.
And I thought she was actually kind of
tolerant,
patient. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I felt like she became a lot more tolerant until she kicked him off the ship. But anyway,
I like differing opinions.
The other thing I like in Rachel's comment, she's mentioning Pike, Picard, and Janeway. We have been watching shows with captains as the lead, and you don't tend to make
Sisko and Archer too.
Yeah, can't forget those guys. You don't tend to make it to Starship Captain without being the top of your game and having high morals, high skills in science, or whether it's a philosophical or political nature to you. Diplomat, that's the word I was looking at. And I guess we're just so used to seeing those kind of characters that you don't end up seeing a lot of the others, especially as, you know, the Enterprise is the flagship. And
Yeah, I love that part of Rachel's comment too. I think it's a really good point. And the fact that it was a funny, more whimsical episode that makes us realize that is also very poignant, I think.
Yeah, it was a great comment. Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah. Thank you.
Joshua DeFree says, and I really like this comment, Edward reminded me of some of the other misfits we've met, especially the three officers in Voyager's Good Shepherd, where Janeway tries to encourage them to actually contribute to the ship rather than bouncing around the fringes. Too bad Edward never had a commanding officer call him out on his career and get him on track. But at least we now know what a triple tsunami looks like.
Indeed we do.
We do.
Now, yeah, I thought you might like that comment.
I love this comment mentioning Voyager. And Good Shepherd was an interesting pick. I didn't think of it straight away. That, for those who need a reminder, Good Shepherd was an episode where Janeway went down to the bows of the ship and picked out three other crew members that we haven't seen before, who were, I guess, underperforming in a way. One had was a Bajoran lady who had to have her work looked over all the time. One was a hypochondriac, and one was someone else who was very antisocial or had sort of social collaborative issues, And yeah, no, if Edward had one of those people or one, a captain that looked after him in that way, he may never have become so odd.
Yeah, and it may have, I mean, obviously this is something that's, I don't know if it's inherent in his nature, but it is, or it has always been inherent in his nature, but perhaps earlier in his career, if he had had better guidance, I mean, he could have family parental issues too, and we don't know his childhood, but there's something that is the source of what all that is, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he managed to find his way onto, managed to survive, found his way onto the Discovery ship, jumped out of the ship through the time wormhole and landed in the 24th century with Captain Janeway, and she will now look after him.
Okay.
Completely out there thought. Yes, I just wanted to bring Janeway up again.
That's fair.
I love my Janeway.
Of course, yeah. Nicholas Paul Collinson said, "This was profoundly weird. Super fun, don't get me wrong, but that was probably the strangest thing I've ever seen with the name Star Trek on it. I really hope Captain Lucero's career wasn't ruined by Edward."
Lizard Babies was also quite...
Oh, no.
...profoundly weird.
Can we not go there?
No, it was a very weird episode. I'll give Nick that. Rob Chapman says, "I loved the silliness of this episode. Particular highlights for me were Edward, Captain Lucero, and the USS Cabot," which was basically everything.
Although we didn't mention the Tribbles.
Oh, true. Do you not like the Tribbles, Rob?
Rob, why do you hate Tribbles so much? Just kidding, Rob. Thank you for your comment. Demir Jafarov says, "It would be lovely for them to release a compilation of all the themes and tunes from Short Treks." I agree, Demir. Thank you for your comment. I think they're knocking it out of the ballpark with the music so far in these two episodes that we've gotten.
Yeah, and Karen Tuplis also says that they're using young composers for the Short Treks, like a workshop. Michael Giacchino is overseeing them. She also says that she thinks the best part of was the slow entrance of the sucky thing that the guy was carrying over his shoulder. Yes. I lost it at that point of the episode. I absolutely lost it. The noises it was making.
Yeah. Oh. You know, I read in another thread somewhere, I can't remember who said it, that the sound effect that it was making when they sucked the Tribbles up was the same as a sound effect that was on an episode of the animated series. Listeners, if you know what I'm talking about, educate me and tell me what I mean, because I'm not 100% sure which episode that is.
Me too, because I don't know. It also reminded me of Nunu from the Teletubbies, and I'm not sure if you got the Teletubbies in America. But
we did. We did, but I don't know what you're talking about.
It's Hoover that hoovered up pancakes, I guess, or something. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh my gosh. You with all these obscure references. I love it. I did a little research, and the composer Sahil Jindal for this episode that Michael Giacchino oversaw is a young new composer. He graduated from Berkeley last year in 2018. I think did a great job. And Brandon Shematala posted a meme regarding the sucky thing that the guy was carrying in reference to this being a little bit Seussian. The meme said, "Oh, the places you'll go, oh, the places you'll walk. You can walk on the ship with your thingamasuck." I had to include that.
That did make me laugh when I saw that.
Yeah. So now let's get to our questions and concerns. And there were a lot of them for this episode. This was a very polarizing episode, I'd say.
Yeah. There's definitely quite a few here. So Casey Pettit says, "I thought the comedy was mostly spot on. I felt that the this conversation is over part went on a bit too long. And I feel like Family Guy, which takes things way too far. I thought Edward was great, if a little clueless and sociopathic. But the captain, I don't know. I didn't buy it. I didn't think the character was necessary. It probably should have been a blue shirt episode. Also, Pike added nothing to the episode for me."
I really liked the conversation is over part, but I, you know, it's totally cool that you didn't like it, Casey. And, you know, I do, again, I like dissenting opinions for sure.
I can see the Family Guy connection there, because I do think Family Guy tends to go way too far. And I think, come on, get it over with. So I can see what Casey's saying there.
Yeah, yeah. Not a fan of Captain Lucero or Pike, though.
Apparently not.
Henry Galarza says, I liked Q&A a lot, but this one we could have done without. Only thing I liked was the new captain. And Amy Nelson responds, that's the one thing I didn't like.
Wow. Okay. I guess she doesn't like Lucero either.
Yeah.
It's just because she's not Picard.
That's it. Not everyone can be Picard, Amy.
James G says, I have never seen the original Tribble episode of TOS, but I have seen the Deep Space Nine episode multiple times. And, well, this episode is one that I wish I could unsee. I would rather sit through a marathon of Loxana Troi episodes, and they are the ones I skip every rewatch. No, I love Loxana Troi as well.
Justice for Loxana.
do you know what though? Like, it is a silly episode, and Loxana Troi episodes can be quite silly and irritable as well. I guess for me though, it was nice to have a sort of episode where it's not so serious and bogged down with a lot of what Star Trek is known for, and is what makes Star Trek brilliant. But sometimes it's just nice to take a little bit of time away from that to just to appreciate something silly.
Oh yeah.
But no, I can see what you mean, James.
I can see what you mean, but I always looked forward to the Loxana Troi episodes. They always made me it always brought a little bit of levity to the situation, and I enjoyed the little bit more of lightness.
Yeah.
Shoaib Mirza says Captain Lucero was completely ineffective in my opinion. Why not blow them into space and shoot to kill?
Well, they are still alive, but also they weren't really malicious. They were just popping out babies every 30 seconds.
Yeah, they're just doing what they do.
Yeah, so I mean, I get why they didn't kill them, but also you could have just sucked them all out into space to get rid of them as well. They'd have died then.
Right.
Or let What's-His-Face make them brain damaged. Should have let him do it in the first place.
Oh, gosh.
I am the Edward.
Maybe.
You're going to be cutting that one out, aren't you, Chris?
No way.
Please do. Chris Hill says, honestly, on first viewing, this one fell a little flat for me. We'll see what further viewings bring, but for now, it's at the bottom of the list for me as far as short tracks go. Where would you place this, Chris?
I don't know yet, because I'll save what I thought about the episode for our final thoughts, but I'm not sure yet. Mm. It's definitely not at the top.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not at the top for me either. It's also definitely not at the bottom.
I don't know if that's the case for me yet.
I guess we'll have to see at the end of the episode.
Brandon Shematala wrote, well, I thought it was terrible. I've never been a fan of what I call uncomfortable humor. Humor where someone is or is making someone uncomfortable. This guy is Barkley to the power of 10. I'm sure some people will love this, but it just wasn't for me. P.S. The post-credits scene was just terrible. Hashtag terrible. So, Brandon, tell us how you really feel. And then he actually posted another comment that said, watched it again, hated it again, hashtag awful.
Oh, you're not going to mince your words, are you, Brandon?
No, right?
No, that's cool. That's what's good about the Babel Conference. We can all share our opinions. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that for the most part, people let them express themselves even if we disagree with each other, you know? I like that. Keep it respectful, people. Say whatever you want as long as we're being respectful of each other's opinions.
I do understand the uncomfortable humor, though. Like, sometimes that can be a bit cringeworthy to watch. I didn't feel it in this episode, but I can see what he means. People have a different tolerance for that kind of stuff.
I felt it. I'll just say a little bit of what I thought about it. At the beginning of the episode, when we first met Edward, I was uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable that he was so disrespectful, that he didn't appreciate or welcome this new captain, and that he was just being a jerk. It made me uncomfortable the first time.
Yeah. See, I didn't get any of that. I think it's more on later viewings for me. I've watched it 5 times now. And I guess some of the humor is wearing off, and I'm seeing some of it for what it is,
mm-hmm.
especially with him, like seeing through him to see that he is actually a bit of a jerk too.
Right.
His body language.
Yeah. Brandon also brought up the fact that we saw a Trill on the Cabot, but when in Trials and Tribulations, they disguised Jadzia to look human. They hid her spots. And then there was a really interesting thread Jim McMahon had brought up. Well, maybe there were no Trills on the Enterprise. So seeing Jadzia could have raised some questions with the rest of the crew. I thought that was an interesting thought. And I was very happy to see a Trill because I do love the Trills.
Yeah, no, it was good to see. And I mean, some things like that, they're easy to cover over. Just say there's no Trill on the Enterprise, and that's
right.
The easiest way to fix it.
I think I also love the Trills because they're named after a musical idea.
Paul Wright Jr. says, "This was a very funny episode, but was anyone else confused by the commercial bit at the end? It seemed a bit out of place to me."
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it is out of place. Mm-hmm. It is a bit odd.
Yeah.
Got some great lines out of it, though.
But don't you think a lot of that comes down to style, like directing style and the writing style? Like, now that we can get more people involved in Star Trek, creative people can kind of put their own spin on it, depending on what their personal style is like.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with disliking it.
Right.
It's just a matter of taste as well. So,
well, Mark Rodriguez, Amy's Negative Nelly, says, "Okay, is nobody bothered by the science of the episode, namely the physics? Tribbles multiply when they eat. There is not enough food on that ship to allow the tribbles to multiply at that speed. There was a tidal wave of tribbles. Was it funny? I suppose. And I understand that tribbles are born pregnant, but if they are not taking in sustenance at the same rate that they produce, matter is being created. And we all know that matter cannot be created or destroyed. I won't even get into the Discovery writers insisting that TOS owes more and more to events on Discovery. I don't believe in ignoring bad writing or lapses in logic, common sense."
Yeah. Wow.
I've met Mark in person when Amy came to visit New York earlier this year, and he's a great guy, and I love his criticisms all the time. I think that they're really well thought out and valid. But I will point out that when it comes to matter not being created or destroyed, I did a little bit of research, Mark, and the first law of I think you're referring to the first law of thermodynamics, and it doesn't actually specify that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, but that the total amount of energy in a closed system cannot be created nor destroyed.
Mm.
I don't know what any of that means, but I'm well, just a musician.
Part of that obviously depends on whether you classify things as a closed system or not. Pregnancy in general is not classified as a closed system. So you've got to eat something. You've got energy coming into you.
Okay.
You're converting that to matter with your baby being born or growing inside you or whatever. Conservation of mass, I think that's where he's also getting at as well. You can't just increase mass. Mass inside a closed system is always the same. But yeah, I can't find much to say against what he's put because, yeah, you don't see those tribbles eating anything and they're multiplying exponentially.
I think Nicholas Paul Collinson might be able to help us with that comment.
Yes.
Too.
Yes, Nick. Please post in the thread. Let us know. Also, I do want to point out, though, I will say that I do disagree with the comment that Discovery writers insisting that TOS owes more and more events on Discovery. You've got a prequel show.
Right.
These are all going to be prequels. So it's all going to try and match up with things that have happened, and they're going to build on stories that happened 52 years ago or build on stories that happened in TNG, potentially, just like Enterprise did.
Right.
Back in the early 2000s, they brought the Borg onto Enterprise. They built on the augments from memory or something like that.
Right.
So was that Enterprise? Yeah, it was.
Uh-huh. Well, we had a prequel show with Discovery. We don't have a prequel show with Discovery anymore.
No, correct. But now everything after Discovery is now going to be a prequel to Discovery Season 3.
And what we see in Discovery Season 3, we're going to owe to everything that came before it.
Oh, God. Now my brain's broken. Kevin Scharf says, "I wanted to like this. I'm excited about the prospects of Star Trek comedy, but this missed the mark, in my opinion. It was well acted and it looked great, but the humor came from a character who just came across as malicious to me. How did a crewman like Edward even get to be on this ship? I hope Lower Deck gets the humor balance better." Do you know what? I think Lower Decks is going to possibly be a little more absurd.
I potentially think so too.
That's my feeling. People can get onto and get into work regardless of their social, I don't want to say the word, but ineptitude. That's probably the only word I could think of right now, because it's not all about that. It's also about their ability to do the role. And he could be a very good protein specialist / triple cook. But I do get what you mean. I do think this wasn't necessarily a tester for Lower Decks, because Lower Decks has already started creation, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it could be a little bit more ridiculous than what we've just seen.
Chris Hill said, "This is one that the more I watch it, the more it grows on me. It's nice seeing that this format allows Trek to try styles it hasn't done before. At first, it fell a little flat for me, but more viewings allowed things to hit better. I still have it sixth in my list for the short Treks, but it's still better than the Enterprise finale or any of the other so-called worst of Trek." Yeah, it's better than the Enterprise finale, right?
That doesn't exist to me.
Okay. We shall not talk about the Enterprise finale.
No. How many short Treks have we had now? We've had six, haven't we? The four and then the two. Yeah, so this is
six.
Yeah, so this is on the bottom of his list then.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think I might agree. I'm just going to say, I think I might agree.
Nah, Calypso. Calypso's bottom.
Oh.
It's boring. Okay. And people are going to hate me for
that.
Well,
you and I talked about this a few days ago.
I still think it's totally irrelevant, but that's me.
Well, I think that's yet to be seen.
We'll see. Aaron Eichler, I hope I've said that right, Aaron, says, "I found it interesting that it went against canon. In Enterprise, Phlox said that tribbles breed rapidly, and by timelines, that takes place first."
Okay, then Rachel Gautreau commented on that. "For Phlox's purposes, breeding quickly just meant fast enough and producing enough offspring to feed his sickbay critters. Meanwhile, for Edward, breeding slowly means too slow to have a self-sustaining population to feed the population. So we're just getting the characters' perspectives based on what they need from the tribbles. And since we never saw Archer's Enterprise overcome with tribbles, from my perspective, I'm not seeing any issues with canon. Also, with the issue of the scientific name being different. As a biologist, I've seen enough taxonomic changes and changes in scientific names of organisms to not be bothered by that at all. That just means that future biologists make adjustments just like is done today." So more scientists, more science conversation. I love it. I didn't rewatch the Enterprise episode.
Me neither.
I wanted to rewatch it, but I didn't have time.
Same.
What do you think about that idea?
Look, I think like a lot of things can be popped into head canon in a way. I like what Rachel's done. She's found a way to see through that potential canon breach. I mean, I don't care. It's like one little phrase, I reckon, from memory in Enterprise that it's almost like a throwaway. I don't mind. I don't have an issue with canon. I'm not so strongly attached to it, if that makes sense. Obviously, complete violations are bad, but this I don't really care too much about. As for changing taxonomic, the taxonomy of it all, I didn't know that. That's quite interesting. I didn't even know they changed the names of the tribbles.
I didn't either.
It's so good to have a lot of really smart people in our Babel conference.
I know.
I love it.
It's very cool. I think that this part of the canon is a little bit of a gray area. And the third time that I watched it last night, it did occur to me that they were shifting or molding things in a little bit of a different way than what we're used to. I'm not really a canonista, although I appreciate, I do like the concept of canon, and I like, inconsistencies explained.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
But I also am a creative person, so I understand that sometimes things are just, you know, they change things.
I mean, a story in 1967, for example, isn't going to be as good as a story in 2003. Potentially, they could have had a different idea. We've changed. We've moved on as a society, you know.
Right.
And then again in 2019, it could be slightly different as well.
All right, listeners, now it's time for your last words.
Okay, so Heather Murray says, "I like the commercial at the end. Also delighted that the spicy ranch is still a thing in the future. Also, love the Johnny Appleseed song and the fact that the tribbles look just how they should, not CGI. So fun. Short Treks is definitely the place to take risks like these.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I loved the Johnny Appleseed song, too. I thought it was really funny and also kind of gross that, I mean, Edward's Johnny Appleseed of, you know.
I know. See, I'd never heard that song before. And then
I hadn't either.
I started thinking about the lyrics as watching it, and I'm like, ew. Oh, his seed is everywhere.
I know.
It's like not a good sign.
Not good, but funny. The song's great. It's Bing Crosby. Come on.
There's a lot of just weird little comments throughout the whole episode, and even in the commercial. The one that really got me was, so furry. It tickles. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. Also, spicy ranch in cereal? Don't think so.
Yeah. The first two, I thought, this is cereal. And then the third one, I was like, okay, this is a different product that cannot possibly be cereal.
It's gross.
So,
but don't totally forget gross. To shave your tribbles.
Don't forget. And it comes in a separate kit or something.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this probably all happened in Edward's twisted mind.
Do you know what? I'm going to go with that. That was his last thought as he was dying in a tsunami tribble.
Yes.
That's what I've decided.
That's permanently in my head canon now.
Cool. Got to love head canon.
Which does not explain the VHS tracking adjustment, but whatever.
Maybe his mind is still VHS.
Maybe he was from the past, like you said.
Ooh.
So he remembers VHS technology.
What are we even talking about?
I don't know. I'm going to move on. Brandon Shea Matala said, the best part of the discussion on the trouble with Edward, in my opinion. I have seen a lot of people saying, this didn't work for me, but it's good to see something new, and I can understand why others had the opposite response. Awesome. This means people can stop complaining about the possibility of Tarantino Trek. It will work for some, but not for everyone. This short Trek clearly shows that Trek is versatile enough to handle insane comedy as well as R-rated violence or whatever Tarantino wants to bring. Brandon, I think that's a really insightful comment, and I am one of the people that's not, so far, a fan of Tarantino Trek, but I like that you can see through this episode that Trek is indeed much more versatile than a lot of people give it credit for. What do you think, Liam? I know you really liked this comment and wanted to talk about
it. Yeah, Brandon, I really liked this comment. It sort of made me realize that myself, I'm quite happy to watch anything with a Star Trek label on it. Take some of it with a pinch of salt. I mean, yeah, this comedy one wasn't probably my favorite kind of Trek, but I still enjoyed it to the point where, you know, it's some Star Trek. It's 15 minutes of my time that I just enjoyed watching something that I like. I also don't have an issue with R-rated Tarantino. I mean, you can chop a Klingon's head off right in front of me. I won't care. It was just Star Trek. I mean, we've eaten Georgia in season one. That's enough. I really love the comment, Brandon. Thank you so much for it. Jason Myers says, I'm so proud of the Star Trek franchise and excited to be here as it experiments with new styles and new storytelling formats. I, for one, love seeing more than the buttoned-down, stuffy behavior of the crews of the flagships or the earnest explorers. I never want Trek to not have those characters' elements, but if Trek truly stands for the proposition that diversity is its own good, then it applies to genres and storytelling techniques too. True diversity means we shouldn't be able to love every single episode or even every series of Star Trek, but we can appreciate each one without condemning or rejecting it. It's okay to have fun sometimes. Again, love the comment, Jason.
And Kevin Rhodes says, I have to admit, I love what it represents, which for me is expanding Star Trek to encompass all varieties of a cinema or TV experience. Absurdist, realistic, comedy, dramedy, action, SNL, quasi-surreal, cartoon, I'm digging it. We're clearly getting successors to Trek with a purpose, and the Black Ops Trek, Little Trek, Big Trek, it's gonna be fun.
I can't agree more.
Liam, how do you think the fans responded to this week's episode?
So I would say, as you said earlier, a very polarizing episode. Some thought it was too silly to enjoy it, and some enjoyed the silliness. I enjoyed it. I just love the fact that we've got the Babel Conference and we can all talk about it with respectful opinions. I also really do hope that we can get something like this for Picard up and running as well, because there's going to be a lot to talk about there as well.
Oh, yeah. I think we definitely need a Postcards for Picard, and I'm totally down to do that because I think it's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The episode definitely was hit or miss for most people. For me, it was a miss at the beginning for the most part, but as I watched it on subsequent watchings, I enjoyed it more. And I will agree with Heather's comment in the last words that I love the fact that the Tribbles are not totally CGI. I think it's great to have what we originally see the Tribbles as. And, again, it's in the Star Trek universe, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, as long as we've got good, solid Trek and people are enjoying some form of it, you don't have to potentially like it, but someone will, and that's what's going to keep our franchise going.
Absolutely. Be sure to check out our Discovery and Short Treks coverage. And again, listeners, remember to listen to this podcast all the way past the closing music. Live from the Edge for new Short Treks will air on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, so you can watch Brandy and Bruce and ask questions live, and will be released as a podcast the next day. Our commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge with Mike and Max. And of course, you can catch full analysis on the Edge main show with Amy and Patrick. You'll find all of these in the main feed for the Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery and all things Star Trek, and the best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where I will collect your feedback for postcards. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the Edge. Well, Liam, it was so fun talking about the trouble with Edward with you today. Thank you again for being here. And welcome to Postcards.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. And thanks to everyone's wonderful comments. They were great to read out.
Yeah, they were.
And discuss.
Liam, where can we find you on the interwebs?
So you can find me hiding around on the Babel Conference. And so feel free to message me on Facebook from that if you like. I'm also only just got myself a Twitter, which is at LS74656. I've got one follower, and that is Chris. So if you want to follow me to make that number...
I'm your only follower?
You are. Well, I only just got it, so I don't really get it yet. But feel free to follow me on there.
Yeah, there's not much to get. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Littlefield, and of course, lurking in the Babel Conference. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. I would like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoab Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Tribuzio, and Brian Malosh. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Edge. Join us very soon for another episode of Postcards from the Edge right after the next Short Treks, Ask Not, is released on November 14th. Hailing frequencies open. All right, Liam, this podcast's over. You're dismissed.
Right, but
this is the end of the podcast.
Chris, if I could...
You can't.
Right, but I had this... This has...
The podcast's over. That's the end.
Well, technically, the podcast is not over because I could keep talking and then the podcast is, you know, carrying on.
I don't know how you made it this far in your podcasting, behaving like this.
You think I'm dumb?
This is why I ended the podcast. I'm stopping the recording. End of podcast.
It would be rude and irresponsible to have a podcast and...
The podcast's over.
But...
Liam.
Remember earlier I said...
Smart.
Yep. All right. Fine. I'm not dumb.
When your tummy needs a nibble, ow! Pour a bowl of Tribbles.
And a reminder again, listen. Oh my God.
You're thinking about Edward in his underwear. That's what your problem is.